Welcome everybody. It's really good to see you all. Hope you're having a good summer. It's a family service, so I do hope we all, as the family of God, will join in. And welcome to those who are watching on live stream. It's really good to have you. Join in the action, so that's fine. Nobody will see you. Okay, over to Rachel for our opening worship.
Good morning, church. Let's start from Marie. So you can put your periscope up if you're able and go down.
truth of those words, that all your promises are yes and amen. And we just praise you this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do please sit down.
So, hopefully we've got a roving mic. The people upstairs will have to shout. But I'm asking the question, what stories do you know about David? David, who became King David. What stories do you know? Oh, hang on, the roving mic's here. Can somebody rove with it? Oh, here's Colin. Excellent, thank you, Colin. What stories? So, if younger people could start, but it's not just for younger people. What stories do you know about David? Oh dear, there's a lady back there in the middle row. Oh, sorry, there's two people, someone behind you as well, but you first.
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath, that's probably the best known one, yeah? We are going to look at that. There's a lady were you going to say the same? No, the lady, Colin, two rows back. There we are.
He loves praising God.
He loved praising God, yeah. He liked his harp particularly, but yeah, loved praising God.
David and Jonathan.
Sorry, David and...
And Jonathan.
David and Jonathan, his best friend Jonathan. We're going to touch on that. Oh! Okay, anybody else? Others? Oh, hang on. Yeah. Yeah, he sent his friends to get water from the well. And then, blow me down, he tipped it all, because he said he was thirsty, he tipped it all down, because he said, oh, they risked their life for me. So...
Yeah, David was a king.
Yes, he became king, excellent. But any younger people who know any stories? Sorry? That's fine. Anyone else? Okay, well, we're going to look at some of the other stories. A couple of those we are going to look at, but we're going to look at some of the other stories. So we know quite a few stories about David, mostly good, one very bad that I'm not actually going to touch on. But today I want to look at most of the ones that are not so well known. There'll be some you will know better. And I need you to judge whether you think David made wise and good decisions. So when I ask you that question, if you think it was a wise and good decision, thumbs up. Can you manage that? Let's have a practice. Thumbs up if you think it was a wise and good decision. Thumbs down if you think it was a bit foolish decision. And if you think he was bold and brave, whoa, like King Kong. So can we practice that? You think David's bold and brave? Because we're going to do voting, so I need to know. And if you think he was afraid. Okay, good. Yeah, we're getting it. Now, there's a couple more actions as we go through the story. So you've got to be alert, and I'm going to have a bit of help from Joshua. If I mention the word Goliath, now, do the best you can. I want you to look really frightening and go, stamp, stamp, Goliath. Can you manage that? So one, two, three, stamp, stamp, Goliath. Come on, that was pathetic. None of you looked scary. So we try again. One, two, three, stamp, stamp, Goliath. That still wasn't very good. I hope you warm up to that one. And if we mention either Saul or when he throws a spear, I want you to go, foot, ooh, pow. Yeah, can you manage that? You ready? So I say, Saul, you go, foot, whoop. Excellent. Good. It may be hard because you might think two things and have to do two actions at once. And if you want to do any other actions while we go through, that's fine. And if you join in well with the actions and come and see me afterwards, there might be some sweets around. And adults too, because I hate it when they say sweets for the children. I think, but I did the actions, I want the sweets. And hopefully as we go through today, we will see what lessons we can learn to make better decisions when we're afraid or anxious and when everything's going wrong for us, which, to be honest, is often quite a lot of the time. So if anybody's never been afraid or anxious and everything's always gone all right for them, you have my permission to go home now, because this won't be relevant unless you want to find out how the rest of the world feels. So, you ready with the actions? Firstly, the best known story is David and Goliath. Stamp, stamp, Goliath. David, as a youngster, faces the mighty Goliath. Stamp, stamp, Goliath. The champion of the Philistines, who came from the city of Gath. Can you remember he came from the city of Gath? You'll need to know that later. David declares, God will defeat Goliath. Stamp, stamp, Goliath. He takes his slingshot, puts a stone in it. Sorry? Takes his sling, puts a stone in it. Thank you. These people are pedantic. And he goes, funk, 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 wee, bump. And Goliath goes, wee, oh, Goliath, stamp, stamp, Goliath. Goes smashing on his face with his skull broken. And David picks up his sword, Goliath's sword, and cuts his head off. Ba-dum, 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 bump. And his head is no longer linked to his body. So, the vote. Was David, in this story, good or bad? Good, yeah? Good, we're going for good. Was he brave or fearful? Whoa. Yeah, we think he was brave. Haven't got any fearfuls? We miss any fearfuls? No, I think we got a fair vote on that one. So, once the Philistines, that was the enemy army, once the Philistines were defeated, David was made an officer in the army. But King Saul, wee, bump. Sorry, that wasn't quite right. Foot, wee, bump. Thank you. And he was not happy. He was not happy at all. He was jealous. Because David was getting better talk-ups than he was. Everybody was saying, David's a better soldier than Saul even. And he was afraid that David would become king instead of him. So one day, when David was playing the harp, blink, blonk, blink, blonk, blink, blonk, Saul, foot, wee, boom. I'm not very good at that one, am I? Took a spear and threw it at David, foot, wee, bump. And again, foot, wee, bump. But both times David dodged the spear. Saul, foot, wee, poof, told his son Jonathan that he planned to kill David. But Jonathan managed to talk him out of it, maybe only for a little while. Because sometime later, Saul, woo, foot, poof, again threw a spear at David. Foot, wee, poof. He escaped and ran away to Samuel the prophet, who was been prophet and he had been judged before the king, and he's the one that told him, one day you're going to be king. Now, this vote, was David's behaviour good or bad? Do you think, good or bad? Vote now. If we were really good, and it's not right and wrong, some people are not so sure. We've got an up. Any, they think it wasn't so good? No, this is a tricky one. Was he brave or was he fearful? Now, I'm going to go, because I think it was a mixture of both. He was brave because he was scared, but he was still brave. So what do other people think? Brave? Fearful? Fearful. Any advance on fearful? Yeah? You think brave or you think fearful? Fearful. I think he was afraid, but he wasn't. He did run to a sensible place to get help. And it's not always wrong to run away. But I think there's a mixture there. So we're going to continue the story later. we've now got some more worship. Yeah, excellent. With actions.
Yes,
so please
song with actions.
Join in again.
So our next song reminds us that nothing is too big for God's power, but also nothing is too little for his care. Nothing's too big for his power. Nothing's too little for his care. He's the God of the big, the God of the little, the God of the stuff somewhere in the middle as well. All right. The King of moving mountains loves you more than you will ever know. All right. So let's stand. We'll do it a few times, so I'll give you the chance to get the hang of it. And we have some modelling at the front for you. Nothing too big, big, big for power. Nothing too little, little for his hand. Nothing too big, big, big for power. Nothing too little, little for his hand. Nothing too big, big, big for power. Nothing too little, little for his hand. Nothing too big, big, big for power. Nothing too little, little for his hand. He is the God. The God of the little, the God of the stuff, somewhere in the please sit down.
Okay, there's just a couple of notices. Has anybody got a notice? Well, I'll tell you my notice and you tell me if missing any. The picnic today, because we haven't got anyone with a car, the picnic today will take place in the lighthouse downstairs. So if you want to stay, please stay for that. And it is the last picnic. Prayer ministry will happen after the service. And the Bible study, on the Wednesday Bible study, will start up this Wednesday, 3rd of September at 7:30. Any more notices before? Okay, I've got some really good news here. Nothing like just before the service, get given a bit of paper from Christine about the Aller family. Really exciting. It sort of answers some of the questions we've been just singing about how God is big and great and fantastic. The Aller family would like to say a big thank you to God for listening to all our prayers and to everyone who prayed for Kelly. Our prayers have been answered. When Kelly went to the hospital, she was able to ring the bell to say she's been told that the cancer has gone and Kelly is all clear. Whoa! That's so good. Kelly would just have checkups. So we'd all like to thank God for his blessing in answering all our prayers. Thank you, everyone. Can we have the offering now? If you haven't got money with you, that's absolutely fine. If you give in other ways, that's fine. We're not after people's money. We're after people's love for Jesus. So please feel free. If you're able to give some money, great. If not, just pass the thing to the next person.
Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, and we thank you for the healing in Kelly's life. And we pray, Father, you will bless her, and we thank you for all the answered prayer. And Father, we do pray for those who are sick at this time. Pray for Trevor and for Richard and for Liz and for Christine, and pray, Father, you will put your healing hand upon your children who are sick, and many who are unknown to us, but you know who they are. We pray, Father, that you will bless your children. And we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you that your compassion never fails, and we thank you that all the good things that you give us in our lives. And Father, we do pray for our world. And Father, we're quite disconcerted when we see your word. And some of us have given up watching the news because it is so dreadful. But Father, you must be weeping when you look at your world. And we pray, Father, you will forgive us where we have spoilt your world and help us to do better, Father. Father, we pray for peace in our lands. We pray for peace between Ukraine and Russia. And we pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray, Father, that the Israeli hostages will be released. And we pray, Father, that the Palestinians will get the food aid and other aid that they so desperately need, Father. Pray for peace in Syria and in Sudan and South Sudan. We pray for your children in Haiti who are suffering from starvation and also from misunderstanding. We pray, Father, that they will come into knowledge of your saving grace and stop practicing witchcraft, Father. We pray, Father, you will bless them and be with them. And we thank you, Father, for all the comfort that we have, all the food that we take for granted, and our warm homes we take for granted. And we pray for all your children who don't have these things. And we just pray, Father, that you will bless us and keep us safe as the days go ahead and be with us, Father. We pray, Father, that you will use us in whatever way you can just to bring your kingdom in. And we ask all this through the blood of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right, I'm going to ask you in a minute what you're afraid of, how you've failed, what things make you anxious. But before I do that, I'll share something I'm scared of and a little story, just what give you a chance for your brain to get going. So Colin will come around in a minute with a mic. I'm scared of snakes. Don't like snakes. I used to borrow loads of kids and take them on holiday, take them to zoos and things like that. I never taught them the word reptile. Didn't want to know the word reptile because I go, where's the snake house? Can't see it on the map. So I got round like that. One time we were on the beach and they were all in the sea with me. Gradually they went out till I was left with the oldest one. And they came running up as we came out and said, shut your eyes. We're going to lead you to something. Now, you never shut your eyes when you're on a beach with kids because they ignore things like rocks and people and stuff like that. So you're kind of pretending to shut your eyes. We got back to where all our stuff was, and swirling around just behind our stuff was an adder. And I just went back. And all the kids leapt back. They never realised that I might be frightened of snakes because they bite. Final story is my nephew was talking about having a snake. And I used to cat sit, and I said, oh, I can't imagine anything worse than coming in the house to cat sit and seeing the snake in its container. I said, Auntie Ruth, it could be worse. The snake might not be in its container. Like, ah! So that's something I'm scared of, but obviously there's a lot of other things, peer pressure, stuff like that. So can we have the mic? Can you stick your hand up or shout if you're up top? Something you're scared of, something where you failed, perhaps something where things went badly wrong, something that makes you anxious or nervous.
I don't like.
You don't like spiders, no? Who else is in not liking spiders? Yeah, okay, yeah. I know my brother didn't used to like spiders. What else have we got? What other things are we frightened of or worried about? Oh, it's Liz.
Rats and mice.
Rats and mice.
Do you remember Tom and Jerry, where the housekeeper used to stand on a stool? Well, that's me.
That's you, yeah. At one point, my mum, a mouse ran between her feet, and I said, oh, Mum, there's a mouse. Next thing I know, I'm holding my mother in my arms. How did that happen?
I'm scared of lizards.
Lizards? Yeah. Okay. There's other things to... Yeah. Poor health. Worried about having poor health. Yeah, absolutely. Social situations. Yeah, we can be nervous around people. Thank you. Heights. Yeah, heights. Wasps. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Oh.
I don't really like spiders. I've failed in my exams, important exams before, in uni. Mm-hmm. And I feel anxious around situations where it's confrontational, those kind of social situations. But yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people find confrontation difficult, and we have. If you haven't failed, I don't. You're alive. There's Anne that side, and there's okay, John, and then Anne. I think it is.
Darkness in woodland areas at night time.
Yeah, you can't find your way out.
I'm scared of alligators.
Alligators?
Yeah, because if you go in the water and alligator is there, they can bite you or eat you.
So yeah, absolutely, yes. I would be scared, but there aren't any in this country that will eat you, so I'm okay.
Clowns.
Sorry?
Clowns.
Clowns. Oh, clowns. Yeah. Clowns, yeah. Some people are scared of clowns, absolutely. Anything else? I'm scared of looking like a total idiot because I do it all the time. I get a bit used to it. Anything else? Is anybody scared about what other people think? Anybody else? Is it just me? Yeah, scared about what other people think. Anybody scared about completely and utterly messing up something that's important? Yeah. There's lots of things we're scared for or scared about. And I get that some of us don't want to share them because they're actually even scary to talk about. So anybody else who wanted to say something who hasn't? Don't want to miss anyone? Great. Okay. So we're going to carry on our story now. So David went to Jonathan, who was his best friend and the son of King Saul. And asked, "Is your dad still trying to kill me? Can you find out?" Now, who would be scared of being killed? Yeah, most of us, a little bit dodgy, isn't it? You're a bit nervous. Can you find out if somebody's trying to kill me? It's often in the plots, isn't it, where you kind of watching a television programme, and I was watching Code of Silence, and it's like, he's behind you, he's going to kill you, and I find it quite stressful. So, is your dad trying to kill me? Please find out. When Saul, found out that Jonathan was on David's side, he threw his spear at Jonathan. Jonathan dodged it and went to David and told David, who ran away to some priests. Now, when he got to these priests, he was economical with the truth, we say, or he lied, or he didn't say the whole truth. Because he said, I'm obeying the orders of King Saul. So can I have some food? We've had to go in a rush. We didn't have food. Can I have a weapon? You've got Goliath's sword here. Oh, sorry, Goliath's sword. Stump, stump, Goliath. So can you help us with food and weapons? And then he carried on running away. But is the nasty bit, because he'd lied later when Saul found out, he killed all the priests and all their families because they'd helped David. So now the vote: was David acting good or bad? What are people voting? We've got people vote. Wasn't ideal, was it? No. And was he brave or fearful? Yeah. And yet, one minute he's really brave with Goliath, next minute he's fearful. So, now this is where you need to remember what I said earlier. David ran away to King Achish from Gath. Who else came from Gath? Stump, stump, Goliath. Yeah, so he ran away to his enemies. To get away from King Saul, he ran away to his enemies. And when he got there, King Achish said, isn't he the person who's been killing all the Philistines? Because King Achish was a Philistine. Isn't this the person who's been killing all the Philistines? What's he doing here? And David was afraid. And decided His only way out was to act mad. So he sat at the gate, dribbling down his beard and scribbling on the gate. Now, this is the first recorded, I'm aware of, graffiti artist. Or I don't know what he scribbled. I like to think it was David was here. But we don't know. We're not told. But he acted mad, dribbling and scribbling. And the king went, oh, for goodness sake, I don't want another madman here. So the vote was David good or bad? Made wise decisions or bad decisions? Yes, thank you, Adorno. That's a very clear answer. No, not particularly wise. Was he brave or fearful? Oh, right. Okay. So David went and hid in a cave, and the prophet Gad came to him and told him where to go. So he went and hid there. He heard that an Israelite city was being attacked by the Philistines, so he asked God, should I go and rescue them or not? And God said, yes. So he went and rescued them. And then he said, should I stay here? And God said, no, they're going to hand you over to the Philistines, to King Saul. So go and hide somewhere else. So what about that story? Good or bad? Good. Fearful or brave? I think he was brave because he rescued them. Yeah. Then David and his men were hiding in the back of a cave, and Saul and his army were chasing David. And Saul needed to go to the toilet. It says in the American version of the Bible, he went to the bathroom. In the cave, honestly. Now, you can imagine where he would be engrossed and paying attention on something else. And David, while he was doing a poo, crept up and just cut off a little bit of his cloak and then crept back again. And after he left the cave, David came out and called after him and said, see, I've cut a bit of your cloak off. I could have killed you. His men were saying, kill him. But I didn't, because God doesn't want me to kill his king. And Saul went, oh, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have been doing that. Sorry, Saul said, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been doing that, and left him. Another time there was something else similar when David crept into the camp and nicked his water jug and spear and then called out, see, I could have harmed you and I didn't. So Saul stopped chasing him. So good or bad, what's the vote? Good. Brave or fearful? Brave. Ooh. And the last story. So David's just been rescued. He didn't get caught by the king. And he's been rescued. And he says to himself, oh no, one of these days he's going to kill me. Let's go back to King Achish of Gath. Who else came from Gath? Stump, stump, Goliath. Honestly, what an idiot, sorry. So he lied to King Achish and said, I've changed sides. I'm not with the Israelites anymore. I want to fight on the Philistines' side. And he'd go off and he'd fight, kill everyone, so nobody could tell the tale, and said, oh, I've just attacked an Israelite village, when he hadn't. So he was lying through his teeth. And then Achish and the rest of the Philistines said, right, let's attack the Israelites. And David, you've been so good at attacking Israelites, you come with us. What a mess! David, on the wrong side, about to fight his own people. And he went, yeah, sure, I'll do that. What a complete mess. But fortunately, thanks to God, he got out of it, because the other Philistines said, don't trust that David, he might change sides halfway through. He's changed sides once, he's been a traitor, maybe he'll still be a traitor. So he got out of it. But what a mess. David's lies meant he almost had to fight the enemy against his, sorry, with the enemy against his own people. So the vote, good or bad? Brave or fearful? Great. So, oops, we've listened to stories of David. In some he was bold, others he was fearful, but brave, and others he was just brave, and others he became overwhelmed with fear, with anxiety, and made bad choices. So I've looked at those stories and think, is there any clues as to what went wrong? Now, can I just say, this is not easy answers. The clues that went wrong are easy. Doing them is not easy. Yeah. It's not a case of just everything will be fine. And we've been singing, in my wrestling and in my doubt, in my failures you won't walk out. Not, I'm never going to fail, and if I do, you're going to say, get lost. Okay. I was told once, personally, that God had given up on me. That was it. Forget it. Fortunately, I decided to carry on following God, even if he had given up on me, which I actually believe because of the people that told me. Don't believe that. God never, ever, ever gives up on you. Whether you fail, whether you... And David, he did such good things, and then the next minute he was doing something so stupid. He was, isn't that like me? One minute, yes, I'm doing the right thing, I'm serving God, and the next minute, I'm not doing so well. So, I've come up with three things we might learn from this story. He was afraid, so he lied to get out of trouble, or at least didn't tell the full truth. I don't know about you, but I've done that. Anybody else? Yeah. Where we've just kind of perhaps just not said. Maybe we should say something and we haven't, or maybe we've just been economical with the truth. I remember as a youngster, I'm not going to share more recent things because, to be honest, I'm embarrassed about them. But I remember as a youngster, we were all leaning against the classroom door, stopping some kids coming in. What we didn't know is the kids had run off and the headmaster had come. So when he got in, we all kind of sat down. Who was that? I didn't own up. Didn't own up. Never admitted it was me. Other people got in trouble, but I just sat there looking innocent. At least I think I looked innocent. I might not have done. So, sometimes we seem to get away with it. I seemed like I got away with it then. But why do I remember that event 50 years later or whatever? Other times, again, I've got away with it, but have been racked with guilt and shame. It's so easy to just not do what you know you should do, and then it's too late. Maybe not apologise, not do something. For David, it ended in the death of a whole village of priests pretending to be mad and nearly going to fight against his own people. It is hard. Please believe me. I'm not trying to make you... It's hard when we're really scared, really worried, often about getting into trouble or something going wrong, to take the easy route out. But in the long run, it's much easier, even though it's not easy, to stick with the truth and be honest and upfront. So, telling lies, because he was afraid. Secondly, he went to the wrong people for help. Sometimes he went to wise people like Samuel the prophet or Gad the prophet, or to his good friend Jonathan. And he also went to God for guidance. Excellent. Other times he went to King Achish of the enemy and the Philistines, or to people he wasn't honest with, so they couldn't help because they didn't know what the truth was. And I want to ask us all, whatever our age, do we have trusted, wise, Christian folk, two or three of them, who we can go to when we're really struggling? Because if we haven't, we need to try and work that out. I have had advice when I've been so far down I couldn't see which way was up. I couldn't hear God. It was like there's this black cloud over me. I remember once going to my really good friends Bob and Vicky and saying, there's a complete black cloud over me. I can't get through to God. God can't seem to get through to me. Will you ask God what he's saying and tell me and I'll do it? Now, they were wise Christian folk and you shouldn't normally abdicate responsibility, but in that situation, that was the right thing to do. And they told me what I ought to do and I did it. And eventually I came to a place where I could then hear God again. So are there wise Christian folk where you can go, this is me where I'm at now. Whatever mess I'm in, can you help? And I've been to other godly friends and got advice and help. And sometimes they've been quite blunt. I remember when I ended up moving down here, my brother and his wife had been in a house group. And afterwards we prayed and I didn't want anybody to know what was going on. So I said, oh, just life and work and everything. And they came to me after and said, we think God's telling you to move, but we think it's down here, but that might, because we'd like babysitters, because the children were little at the time. And I said, yeah, sure, find me a job and I'll, whatever. Next thing I know, my sister-in-law, Catherine, is telling me about a job in the hospital that I could do, was within my thing. So I went for the job. I asked for the highest part of the grade, because I had been higher grade, and I needed that. And they gave it to me. And I said to Catherine, I don't know what I should do. And she said, what else do you want God to do? He's given you the job, he's given you the highest grade, he's done everything you've asked him. For goodness sake, do it. So without feelings, I went for it. If I hadn't, wouldn't be down here, wouldn't be doing CAP, which I love. And also, the church I went to originally, Reigning Christian Fellowship, we saw a mini revival with loads of kids coming to Jesus. So if I'd not listened to my wise advisor and been afraid because it was moving away from everybody I knew apart from my brother and his wife, then I would not have been able to do those things. So there are wise advisors. So try not to tell lies or be economical with the truth. Wise advisors. The other thing David did, he turned in on himself. One of the stories, David said to himself, one of these days is going to kill me. Let's go back to King Achish of Gath. He said to himself, again, it might just be me, but I can really diss myself quite well. Ruth, you hopeless, dreadful thing. You honestly, you silly old bat, why did you do that for? I can go on and on and on. I could carry on for quite a long time, recounting all my failures and uselessness and unworthiness for quite a long while. And I tell you, that doesn't help. If I've done something wrong, yes, I need to say that's wrong and try and sort it out. But once I've done that, telling myself I'm useless, I'm hopeless, why bother? Let's go back to the people who aren't good for me because it doesn't make any difference, does not help. Do other people do that? Is it just me? Oh, there's a couple of people does that, yeah. I think a lot of people, we talk negative to ourselves. We say negative things to ourselves and then we chicken out. This is really scary, but God can help me through it. This is really scary. Oh no, let's run away. There's same issue. Be honest, we don't pretend it's not scary. But are we feeding ourselves with words of defeat and failure and fear? Or are we feeding ourselves with words of hope? David, when he was faced Goliath, stomp, stomp, Goliath, I'm the only one who did that, said, the Lord has saved me from the lions and bears, he'll save me from this Philistine. Look back, has God rescued you before? Has he got you out of messes before? Now that doesn't mean that therefore everything will become easy. I don't want to sugarcoat this. It doesn't mean everything suddenly goes honky-dory, everything's bright and light, and all your problems solve. That's not true. It does mean you're doing what is right, and it pleases God, and in the long term, it's best. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing a fiery furnace. And they said, our God's able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down to the idols. So when we're faced with hard things, God can step in and do amazing things to defeat Goliath. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to follow him and do what he says. And when I was at that very down time, when, as I said, I'd given up, I thought God had given up on me, I said to him, "You might have given up on me, but I haven't given up on you. I'm going to carry on trying to serve you and follow you, whether or not you've given up on me." And looking back now, not the time, not by a long shot, looking back now, that was the bottom. And then I started climbing out again, because God wanted my trust more than he wanted everything to feel lovely and hunky-dory for me. So what we're going to do now, as we draw to a close, we're going to pause, and I want each of us to ask God ourselves how we should respond. Am I lying to get out of trouble? Do I need to go to or find a wise Christian for advice? Do I need to speak God's truth and not my fears to myself? So we'll just have a time of silence. After a bit, the worship group will start playing. If you've not finished, don't stop. Don't walk out on God halfway through. Wait till you feel you know what it is that is the next step or God's saying. If you need prayer, there's going to be prayer ministry afterwards. So don't go away without sorting out with God whatever it is that's on your heart he's talking to you about. So we'll have a time of quiet. Then after a bit, Rachel will start, and there'll be a few songs, and then we'll close.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I see Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break
foundations have been shaken. When I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you still reign and you're still God. And when it feels all song. We're going to invite God into our hearts. If my heart can make a home, then I will make it yours alone. Room in my heart. Let's sing as a response to what we've heard this morning. If my heart
I'm
please sit down.
I just want to say one final thing. It's very easy when we start thinking about anxieties and fears to think, oh, yeah, David messed up big time. I've messed up big time. Oh, dear. Whatever. But remember that David was God's friend, that Jesus was called Son of David. Yeah? This isn't, it's easy sometimes to spiral even when you get a positive talk because it's so easy to put ourselves down. But remember how special David was to Jesus, to God. And therefore, even with all his failures, all my failures, all our failures, all our fears, all our anxieties, we can still be, we still are, not we can be, we still are so precious to God. He loves us to bits. And just as with your own kids, they do things wrong. The first thing you want to do is get them to say sorry, and then we can get on with being family again. So please just hear that. Don't get caught up with kind of looking at the negative, because it's a really tricky one to tackle. Can I say thank you? Thank you to the visual team, to Colin with the roving mic, to the live streaming and the overhead projectory things, and for the stewards and welcome team, the worship team. Thank you for joining in. Joshua, thank you for being Goliath and the spear, and the prayer ministry team and tea and coffee team, which will happen afterwards. Really appreciate that. I'm just going to end with a brief prayer, and then I'm going to read a few verses from Habakkuk just to finish with. So, Lord, in all our doubting, in our anxiety, in our fears, in our boldness, in our bravery, Lord, would you be there? Would we be, you be the first thing in our lives, the first in our hearts, that we would have room in our hearts for you, so that there isn't room for all this other negative stuff, or even for our boasting about how brave we are. And Lord, I pray especially for this week as the children go back to school, and for some of them it's going to be really nerve-wracking, and I just pray they would know your peace in their hearts, and that any anxieties or fears they have about that, you would calm. And anyone else where things have come up for us today, that you would help us to see you and that you're still God and see the big picture. Amen. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens. His praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and enables me to tread on the heights. Amen. So God bless you all as you go. Please stay for tea and coffee. It's so much easier, particularly if you're new. It's so much easier to get to know people when we can catch them afterwards. And there'll be tea and coffee downstairs, picnic afterwards, prayer ministry. If you still need prayer to respond to anything or something completely different, or find someone you trust as well if you need some wise counsel. Thank you very much, and thank you all for thank you for joining in, and there are sweets for those who joined in, including adults. But thank you, it made it really good.